Vic and Span, the wonderful once-over cleaner for walls, woodwork, and linoleum. And new Blue Cheer, the only suds with the Blue Magic Whitener, presents The Right to Happiness. At times seemingly pleasant and friendly, at others cold as ice. Jack Townsend is demanding and ruthless as he arrives at the DeWitt Home for Children in Bridgeton. A few boys and girls are in the front hallway, but he walks through them, brushing them aside. Opening the door of Mike's office, he sees Mike at his desk. And noting neither fear nor surprise in the older man's expression, he comes toward him.
I expected your check for $40,000 in the mail today, Mike. I didn't get it.
Hello, Jack.
I got into this town of yours. I called Irene from the airport to make sure. It hadn't come in.
That makes sense, Jack, because, you see, I didn't send it.
Well, all right, Mike. I've come to get it. You told me you deposited the $50,000 Carol and Nelson gave you. So write out my check for $40,000. Live up to your bargain and we'll forget you ever thought of double-crossing me.
I've never double-crossed anyone.
Well, what do you call this? What you're trying to do right now?
I'm only asking for an even split, Jack. I knew you'd come. I wanted you to come so I could explain it to you.
Don't waste your time.
I need the money, Jack. I didn't fool Mrs. Nelson about that. This home is falling apart. The children need clothes, so I can't even give them enough to eat. The poor little
tots. You're breaking my heart. Who do you think you're talking to?
A human being. But maybe I'm wrong. Now, look, Jack. I can show you the same things I showed Mrs. Nelson. The same books and accounts. Yes, and I can show you around the place. Let you see for yourself how much the home needs repairs. Let you see the pitifully small lunches and suppers I have to feed the children because I can't afford anything more.
Oh, your professional breath beating has never failed you yet, has it, Mike? Well, this is one time it's going to.
Look, Jack, I founded this home because I wanted to.
Yeah, well, suppose you did.
And I've done my best to care for the children.
That's your story. What's it got to do with me?
My one mistake was hooking up with you the last time. Though I didn't really have much choice, I had to have money to tide me over. But the split you asked was exorbitant.
It wasn't a split, Mike. It was the fee you paid me for tapping a source you couldn't touch. It's the same thing now. I told you my fee for tapping Carol and Nelson. You agreed to pay it. And now I'm holding you to your word. You can do a lot with the $10,000 you're getting. Better 10 than nothing.
I can do a lot better with more.
Yeah, who can't? But you better get it through your head that there isn't any more. So what'll it be, 10 or nothing?
After all, Jack, I've deposited the check. I have the money, not you.
And all I have to do is tell Carolyn she made a mistake. She'll stop payment on the check tomorrow, before it is time to clear the Meridian Bank.
Yes? Yes, you could do that, and I could bring the entire deal out in the open, Jack.
Sure. But you know where it would get you. Neither of us would get a cent. We'd get a sentence. Oh, you wouldn't do anything that foolish, Mike.
Well, you're right.
Okay, then get it up. Now.
Very well. But when you think of the children, you, taking for yourself what rightfully belongs to them.
Handle this check the way you did the other, Mike. After it clears, send it to me so I can destroy it. Don't make a record of it. No photographs or photostats. Is that clear?
You've stumbled on a pretty good thing in Carolyn Nelson and the Wayne legacy, haven't you?
That's right, I have.
I will say you handled this well, for yourself at any rate. Here you are. $40,000.
Thanks.
Knowing you, I suppose you'll take her for as much of the trust as you can. How are you going to do it?
Well, I'll manage.
Are you going to work the same plan again?
I don't think I'll be needing you anymore, if that's what you're driving at, Mike. I know Carolyn suggested that I put on a real drive for you someday.
She did.
Trouble is, I don't like the way you do business. This is the end, Mike. Save your weeping and your double-crossing for somebody else.
Matches, sugar, salt, and better add another package of detergent. We're going to clean house.
Do you still use detergent for your walls and woodwork, Mrs. Jones?
Certainly. Why not?
Well, you know, special jobs often need special products. And Spick and Span can do this job twice as fast.
How so?
Well, you don't have to rinse and wipe dry with Spick and Span. You use a damp cloth, a sponge, and just go once over.
But certainly quite a change from soaps and detergents. I hate that old rub, rinse, wipe routine. And I usually have to go over the surface several times because the suds drip down and make streaks.
That won't happen with Spick and Span. And it's nice and mild, too. A special Spick and Span formula is safe for all washable surfaces. Detergents are wonderful for the laundry, Mrs. Jones, but for walls and woodwork and for linoleum, too. Why don't you try Spick and Span?
All right. Give me a package of Spick and Span. And better make it a big one.
Since her talk with Skip last night, his partial confidence has preyed on Carolyn's mind. 1 minute close to her and withdrawn the next. Obviously struggling with an idea that had come to him or been put up to him. An idea that he thought would solve his problems and ease the turmoil in his mind. It was obvious that he didn't like it and was tentatively seeking guidance. Unable to sit idly by, realizing he may not tell her any more, Carolyn phones the school. And now, hearing the voice of the principal...
Yes, Mrs. Nelson, what is it?
I hope I haven't called it a busy time for you, Mr. Blair.
Well, with all the pressure here, Mrs. Nelson, one time's much like any other. I'm expected at a teacher's meeting in a few minutes, but what can I do for you?
Well, I'm very anxious to know how soon we can expect Skip to finish the term of punishment you set for him.
Well, as I explained, that depends entirely on him.
I know he's trying, Mr. Blair. I know he's doing his best to get off probation. But there haven't been any report cards lately, and naturally I'm curious.
Well, the reports from the teachers aren't very encouraging, Mrs. Nelson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They tell me he spends a great deal of time dawdling and daydreaming. As a matter of fact, I've noticed that myself.
He's following the rules, though, isn't he?
Well, if you mean reporting to me each morning and staying in study hall till he's released, yes. But his marks and his general attitude... not that he's the only one, Mrs. Nelson. This vandalism is getting worse and worse.
Vandalism?
Oh, yes. The latest example was just the other afternoon.
Was Skip implicated?
All the books and papers in the desks of his homeroom were thrown around. Ink spilled all over the floor.
Oh, I'm sure Skip wouldn't do anything like that, Mr. Blaine.
Oh, I'm not accusing him, Mrs. Nelson. I'd never do that without being sure. But I made him clean up the mess because he was the only boy still in study hall.
I'd like to talk to you about him as soon as you have time, Mr. Blair. Skip talks about getting off probation, and I know he wants to. I feel this gang we spoke of is making his life miserable, and there's no...
Mrs. Nelson, I am sorry to interrupt, but I have to go to my meeting. Could you call in 2 or 3 days and make an appointment?
Yes, I'd be glad to.
Good. And meantime, whatever studying you can get Skip to do will be a help. Goodbye, Mrs. Nelson.
Goodbye, and thank you.
Shocked by the fact that Skip may be even remotely connected with vandalism, Carolyn thinks of the actions of Rod Sidney's gang and Skip's loneliness because of them. Now, going to answer the doorbell.
Hello, Mrs. Nelson.
Why, Mrs. Sidney, how nice to see you. It's too bad living as close as we do that we don't see each other more often.
Well, I work all day, you know.
Yes, I know. Do come in, won't you?
I don't plan to stay. The postman left this letter in our box by mistake, so I brought it over.
Oh, well, thank you. Please come in.
I really can't, Mrs. Nelson. There's supper to get and the housework to do.
Well, just for a minute. There's something I want very much to ask you.
Well, for a minute, then. Oh, you've really got this place fixed up nice, Mrs. Nelson.
Thank you. Mrs. Sidney, I want to ask you this in confidence. That is, I'd rather it's kept just between the two of us.
Something about the boys?
Yes. You know how close-mouthed teenagers can be with their parents.
No one knows it better.
But I wonder if your son, Rod, has said anything about Skip or how Skip's getting along.
He hasn't said a word to me, Mrs. Nelson.
Nothing at all?
No, he doesn't tell me much about anything. I never know where he's at from 1 minute to the next. Except he's over at Jake's pool hall more than he should be.
I've told Skip he couldn't go there.
I tell Rod, too, but he goes anyway. I'm just too busy keeping a roof over our heads.
You told me once that Rod had been in trouble at school.
He's been in trouble a couple of times.
But not lately.
Not so far as I know. Why? Have you heard they're up to something again?
No, but I heard from the principal that there'd been some vandalism at school. I hope neither of our boys had anything to do with it.
I hope so, too. But if Rod is mixed up in it... Well, it might be a good thing for him to get caught and punished for it. He's beyond me, Mrs. Nelson. I don't like saying this, but it might serve him good and right. In the long run, maybe it'll teach him a lesson he needs.
Have you seen pictures of the electronic machine that measures how much energy goes into different kinds of activity? It's a fascinating contraption. It proves, for example, that a woman reaching up to a stack of dishes spends almost as much effort in 5 minutes as a carpenter sawing wood for that length of time. One thing you don't need any electronics to measure is the time and effort you save by cleaning your linoleum with Spick and Span. It's twice as fast and twice as easy as the old-fashioned way with laundry detergent. You don't have to cope with messy suds. You just go once over with a damp mop. No rinsing, no wiping dry as there is with soaps and detergents. Spick and Span's special cleaning formula leaves floors brilliantly clean, and it's wonderfully mild, too. Save yourself. Clean your linoleum the modern way with once-over Spick and Span.
No rinse, no wipe with Spick and Span. Once over and you're through. Spick and Span.
There is no consolation for Carolyn in her talks with Mr. Blair and Mrs. Sidney. The thought of Skip ever reaching the point Rod has reached is intolerable, and she vows never to let it happen. But how can she prevent it? Carolyn is not quite sure why, but she senses imminent catastrophe. The Right to Happiness has been presented by Procter & Gamble, makers of Spick and Span, the wonderful once-over cleaner for walls, woodwork, and linoleum.
Would you take a dare?
Yes, dare to see how white your wash can be. Make the Cheer window test. Prove it yourself. Blue Cheer washes clothes so white, you can see the difference.
Change to Cheer in your automatic washer. Then take something from your family wash to the window. In that critical light, you'll see an amazing new whiteness. And on hard-to-whiten nylon, you'll see a wonderful difference never possible before Cheer.
The reason? Only Cheer has the blue magic whitener. More than a bluing, a new and better whitener.
Try Cheer, the modern detergent for modern automatics. Cheer has the active kind of suds recommended by the leading makers of automatic washers and preferred by 8 out of 10 women who own agitator automatics. And only Blue Cheer's active suds have that blue magic whitener.
Tomorrow, a glimmer of light shines through the darkness of Carolyn's fears on The Right to Happiness, directed by Arthur Hanna.
Transcribed. This is the NBC Radio Network.